I'm going to try a different approach. And so I'll read my text so you can sit down. 2 Colossians 2, verse 2. But, or rather, I'd like to read, start at verse chapter 1, verse 26, and say this: even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry. Just a second. But now is made manifest unto the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 2, chapter 2 says, that their hearts might be conformed or comforted, being knitted together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of the Son. So you may be seated. If I was to even have a title to this thing, but brother, I'll get you if you put this on YouTube. Don't do it. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? I don't know if you're like me, but when I hear my voice, I don't want to hear myself. It's terrible. Anyway, so don't put it on YouTube, brother. Assurance. And assurance, accepting the anointing work of Christ. The soul that realizes that it's completely free from the power of sin and thus from the judgment that its results are, and from the judgment results. The confidence of faith is based upon the righteousness of Christ and his atoning sacrifice. We now have boldness to enter into the holies of holies, or into his presence, because of the blood. And my point is tonight, I want to talk about assurance. Someone said blessed assurance. And I don't know about you, but me, and I think the Lord has helping me to understand this, that in a different way, in a different light. I know as Pentecostal that I have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has a work in me, an ongoing work, and you too. And I'm thinking about how that this full assurance and understanding is that when I die, I am saved. And the devil has harassed me with this lately. And I want to settle and shut his mouth tonight, is my desire. And that's, can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Does the devil ever come to you and say, you're not saved? Has he ever done that to you? Am I the only one it's ever happened to? You're not saved. How can this happen? How can I be saved? How can you be saved? But I want to tell you tonight, the full assurance that the atoning work of Jesus Christ has appeased God's judgment. His blood has covered us and appeased God's wrath and judgment. Without that blood sacrifice that he has for us, there would be no assurance. Sister, I did want to sing that. Sorry, I acted like I didn't. I didn't, so I understand. I did really kind of forget. Oh, God. I would like to sing Blessed Assurance. And it's 119 in your songbook. Sister, sing real loud so you cover me up. Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Thank you, Jesus.
This is my soul.
This is my song, praising my Savior for the
of love.
I worship you, Jesus.
This is my story.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness.
I worship you. I worship
you. I worship you, Jesus. We need you. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is my story.
This is my
song. This is praising my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness today. God is so good to us, wanting to understand this assurance, understanding that His blood has covered me. If I have accepted the plan of salvation, I have repented, and I have been baptized in Jesus' name, and I have been filled with the Holy Ghost, then I have an assurance today. Confidence that everything is going to be okay as long as I'm walking uprightly before the Lord, and the motivation of my heart is acceptable to the Lord, and the atoning work that He has done in my life, then when I die, I can go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Can you say that? You want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? I know you do. And I've been thinking about that so much here lately. I've been thinking about dying. And one of these days, it's going to be a reality. You know, I've had times when my chest hurt, and I thought, man, this is it. Could this be it here? I'm in the shower. You know how you hear about men falling dead in the shower? I'm thinking, oh, man, it's a big one. I thought of that lately, a lot lately. I'm thinking, man, I could drop dead right here in the shower. I hope my wife drags me out here and puts underwear on me. You know, I know it sounds silly, but I thought of that. I mean, how's she going to drag me out of this bathroom into the bedroom? I hope she does it. Kenzie and Caleb, stay in the bedroom. Randy, you drag me. You know, I'm thinking about that. It's crazy, but as a serious note, on a serious note, when I die, the next time, I was talking to Brother Grissom about this. I read things that men say that they know, but I know what the Scripture says. That if I am washed in His blood, I'm faithful to Him, then everything's going to be all right. Because it's not what I am doing, but it's what He has done. He is the one that can go into the holies of holies for me. He is my high priest. He is my king. He is my prophet. He's the one that His righteousness was imputed for me. When he died, when I received salvation, when I received the plan of salvation, that He imputed righteousness unto me, who knows no righteousness. That when I pass off the scene, that I can go before the Lord. His blood has appeased God's judgment. He has covered my life. And that
is an assurance tonight that I have in the Lord. And I can be happy that I should live with every man peacefully because I have assurance in God. You know, I don't have to impress any man with wealth or riches, which I obviously do not have. But if I did, I don't have to. So I don't have to have those things. All I need is the plan of salvation working in my life. The work of the Holy Ghost in my heart to help me to be what I need to be. And I want God to work on me. And I want to talk a little bit about God's moral nature. And it's first of all, God is love. That is His nature. His love, His moral nature, moral attributes rather, are love, light, holiness, mercy, gentleness. It almost sounds like the fruits of the Spirit, doesn't it? Righteousness, goodness, perfection, justice, faithfulness, truth, and grace. That's our God. That's who He is. Before we go on, we must understand a few words here, like imputation. To attribute to another person vicariously and ascribe as delivered from another righteousness and guilt. And that's what God has done. He's imputed to us righteousness. That is a miracle. When we accept the truth and we're baptized and filled with His Spirit, we're imputed righteousness unto us. That's an assurance tonight. Atonement, the reconciliation of God and mankind, especially as it accomplished through the death of Christ. And then appeasement, to bring to an estate of peace and quiet and ease and calm and contentment, it like to appease a king from anger. These moral attributes of God are not contradictory, but work in harmony. For example, God's holiness requires immediate separation between God and man when man sinned. Then God's righteousness and justice requires death as a penalty for sin. But God's love and mercy sought pardon. God satisfied both of this justice and mercy by the death of Christ. So that's why He can impute righteousness unto me. And that's an assurance that I have that the Holy Ghost working in my life, that everything's going to be okay. I'm convinced that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. For to which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. I've committed my life to Him. I've committed my thinking patterns to Him. I've committed my resources to Him and my tithing and offerings. I've committed my ways unto the Lord, and those little ways that I can give to Him to offer the King of Kings, that I have that responsibility to do. But He's able to keep each one of those things that I've done against that very day because of assurance. I have an assurance in the Lord today, assurance that I'm going to have salvation and depart from this world in victory. Paul wrote, and I think it's in Romans 8:32. Brother, if you could bring that up quicker than I could get it out of here. But Romans 8:32 says this. Okay, says that. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how He shall... I don't think that's it. It's maybe Romans 8:30-something. Forget it. I don't know where it's at. Somewhere in Romans. Let's see here. Thank God it's Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. Romans in the New Testament? Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. Thank you, Sister Blatt. So I don't mind being laughed at a little bit. Praise the Lord. I forgot what I was going to say. Man, this is rough tonight, y'all.
I did prepare, I promise. I did, all day long. I should have worked on that yesterday. But I worked on this dumb bicycle yesterday, all day. And all along, it's eating in the back of my mind. You need to be in there reading and praying. Pardon me? I did. I know that's not it. But I forgot what I was even thinking, brother. I don't feel, forget it. I didn't need it anyway. I remember to make a prayer before I preach or any time I speak. I always say, Lord, help me to remember the things I need to remember and to forget those things I need to forget. So evidently, that scripture I just didn't need. Glory. Hallelujah. God is able. He is so able to take care of us and so willing to take care of us. We don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. We don't have to be afraid of next week. God is able. He's able to bring Brother Robbie home. God is with him tonight. God has not forgot him just because he hadn't been here in the house of the Lord. God knows, and he thinks toward him good thoughts. He does. Isaiah 29:11 says it. That's how I know that God thinks to us the good. He looks to us to have a prosperous life. And his thoughts toward us are warm and comfortable. That's our God we serve. We don't serve, like I've said many times, a little figurine on a shelf somewhere that we bow down and burn incense to. We don't serve a God like that. We serve a God that knows, who can act, who can see, who is aware and is faithful to and just to supply all of our needs, every single need that we have. He is able. He is the great God of heaven. He's the only one qualified to be all-sufficient Savior. That's our God. That's the God we serve. He is truly the greatest phenomenon that's ever crossed the horizon of this world. He molds the world just in the very palm of his hand. He's a great God. And every star in heaven he's named. He knows the names of every star. And he's so brilliant and such greatness that he knows every hair on our head. Some of us have a little more than others. But praise God anyhow. So you be careful about making fun of a bald person. Because I read in the scripture, well, there was somebody making fun of the bald prophet. You remember what happened to them? The she-bears come out and ate them. So be careful. Thank you, brother. So do you, Brother Gary. You look good out there. God is so good to us. You know, I enjoy serving the Lord. Well, one thing we have been having here, some great services. To feel the presence of the Lord. To feel His goodness blow into this place. And to meet our needs. And I'm so thankful tonight for a church that I can go to and feel that way. I have been to churches where you didn't want to go. You just get there. It seems so that as there was no worship, there was no praise, and you're used to that here. We're used to worshiping God. We're used to praising God, and then when you attend a church, there's a bunch of cemetery plots with faces out there. But not here. There is a heritage here in this church. People that worship and know how to praise God. And that's so important, to know how to worship and how to praise the Lord. You don't believe me? Well, you face a dilemma in your life. And then you'll figure out how real quick to touch the throne of heaven. Is that true? That is true. Then you can be made known of His goodness. And that's what He did. They drive me nuts. I hate notes. But in the Old Testament, you remember how God revealed Himself. He revealed Himself in increments. He never has revealed God, His total self, to any man. And as a matter of fact, He revealed Himself in names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Rapha, and all of these revealed Himself. And I thought it's really neat. I think I've mentioned it here of late, but that
And Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. Isn't that significant? That's awesome. And that he was there, and as he went, he'd never moved. Abraham did what God said he was going to do. He never wavered at what God said to do. He knew that God had a plan. And I think that in myself that he understood and remembered that the Lord had made a promise to him. You know, circumstances of life likes to make us forget some things. Some of the promises that we have in the Word of God dim in the light of affliction or a light of persecution sometimes. But Abraham, he never forgot what God promised him. He said, in thy seed. He said, it'll be like the sands of the sea. He was talking about Isaac. You know what I'm saying? He was talking about him. So when he got ready to go sacrifice, the Lord said, sacrifice your son. You know what he said? He said, me and the lad will go yonder and sacrifice and come again. He knew something. His name had been changed. You realize his name meant a father of a nation? And if you don't have any kids, you can't be a nation. Talking about the beginner, the creator of a nation, a father, that's what it meant. He was a creator of a nation, and he had Isaac. And he was going to take him up and sacrifice him. I believe he knew all along, even when he drew back the knife to get ready to plunge it down onto his son, that he still was believing God, that he was going to provide. Man, that is some faith, and that is some trust in the Lord. In the very midst of point of no return, he still believed the Lord. That's faith. And God provided for him a ram that was in the bush. And then he understood and he knew more of God. He knew more about God. He knew God was a provider. And that's what he meant when he said that. Jehovah Jireh means the God that sees and provides. So tonight, those of you that need something from the Lord, he knows about it. You come to worship him, he sees your need. You come to praise him, he's able to provide. Abraham knew that God was his provider. So God can be your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. If God's ever provided anything for you, now you have that. God, Jehovah Shalom, that's God our peace. God our healer, I forgot the name for that. But if you're smart enough, maybe you could tell me. But anyway, God is our peace and he is our provider. And he is our healer. That is a true God. When you've had healing in your life, then you know him as healer. Well, the name of Jesus encompasses all of that. Jesus literally means Jehovah has become salvation. And when you have salvation, then you have privy to all of those things in your life. Healing. Provision of means and sustenance. Illumination. Joy. Peace. And direction. That's what you could get. What else is there in life to get other than that? Nothing. Nothing else. And when we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we have that assurance that God is able to keep that which we've committed to him, then there should be great victory in our lives. As we walk in our homes, as we teach our children, as we greet one another, there should be a satisfaction in our heart. There should be a, hey brother, how's it going? Hey sister, how are you today? Answer back, God is a provider. God has always provided for me. He's never left me alone. He's been there, even when I didn't realize it. He manifests himself in different ways. And sometimes, to you yourself, you know how he's done that. How he's brought encouragement to your life. How he's made a way for you. I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't have any idea what I was doing, but I felt something. In that place, that night, the brother Shiflett was preaching about a man that didn't believe in receiving the Holy Ghost, and I remember thinking, "How can that be?" I didn't know beans. I had never even picked up the Bible. I knew nothing, but I just believed that. I believed that. How could that be? A man that doesn't believe in receiving the Holy Ghost, because I had a bit of a heritage, a grandmother that prayed. I remember that, her praying as a young boy. She left me that. Well, that night that I was filled with the Holy Ghost, then I knew God was real. I knew he was real. And I couldn't hardly read, just barely. And I began to take tapes and listen to those tapes and follow along in the Scripture. Look at it and look at the Scripture. And the Lord worked it out for me to be able to read later. But God has always provided for me. I don't know where you are in your life and what you face. If there's a dilemma in your life, surely there's somebody here tonight that has that, a dilemma. Facing a situation that seems insurmountable. But I want you to know tonight that God is still there. He's in the still small voice. He's in the loving hand. And there is a place by Him that you can get into and receive what you need. Does anybody know what I'm... If you say praise the Lord, God is able tonight. And He's able to replace that loved one that's passed away. The companionship of that loved one that you needed, that adds to your life. God can be that same thing. He can add to your life fellowship and companionship and bring you harmony in life again. And that's what God has done for me in my life. If I could write a title to my life, that I could say that God has added to me harmony in my life. He's added to my life things that I've desperately needed. I remember praying down at this altar, and I can remember when the Lord became everything I needed. Everything that I had ever wanted in life, He became that. All those touches that I didn't need. And when He touched me, then I knew how foolish those others were and how right He was. Then I knew. When He provided for me, when it seemed to be no way, then I knew that God was a provider. And He loved me. He cares about me. And when I realized that He loves me, Raymond, nobody, then that there's an excitement that comes with that. There is an assurance that everything's going to be okay. And I guess maybe I'm not like you, or maybe I should be, but I somehow find myself as if I was in the threshing floor, hiding from life. And God makes a call, and He says, "Come on, baby, get up and live." And that's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to live. But I never was able to live until God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I often say that to those that I witness to, that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you got a ticket, and you put it in the pocket of your soul. And then you don't live in the reefer decks, but you can go to the dining hall, where the food is good. Don't be satisfied with eating peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the reefer deck when you can go up on the dining hall and eat a steak. And that's the way I feel about living for God. Don't be satisfied with the mundane. When I find myself a tapering and a withering away or not praying as much as I should, I want to remind myself that I have an assurance. I have a responsibility to God to give back to Him my life. Lay it down on the altar of sacrifice and sacrifice this person. Cut my throat and let me bleed. I want to be the sacrifice. I want to go to heaven, and I want to sacrifice my life, my own opinions, my own ideas, but I want to examine His ideas. The only way that I've been able to find His ideas is in the Word of the Lord. And His ideas are much better than my ideas. And I know this, the scripture that I love to say and love to quote is that when I run to the rock, which is higher than myself, if I can get up to that rock and I can climb up, I can get a hold of it, and I can climb up it, then I can get on top and have a different perspective. Not my own perspective, but His perspective. If I can have that one, I know everything will be okay. Because it says in the scripture, lean not on my own understanding, but lean on His understanding. And He will direct my way. And I can't go wrong with that. You can't either. Trust in the Lord and lean not onto your own understanding, but trust in Him, and He will lead you out. He will draw you near. He will give you satisfaction. He will give you joy and peace that you need. And that's the truth. That is the truth. And I'm not saying nothing that it's not true. Is that right? It's the truth. How many of you have experienced the joy of the Lord? All of you have. Confidence that He gives, not in yourself, but in just being able to have an assurance. Confidence in that hope that He is able to keep that which you've committed to Him against that day. When you lay down that final breath that you breathe, and before you have a confidence knowing that He's going to take you through. And I get excited when I thought
I know it sounds silly. I got excited when I thought, well, I'm getting ready to die. Kind of exciting. I don't have to worry about that big school loan I have to pay back. And I'm going to a place. And when I open my eyes, then I'll see him. I was going to mention it earlier. I'm going to quit here in just a second. I promise two more minutes. If I had a memory, that'd be awesome. That's for sure. But I don't. Do you remember what I was going to say? I don't either. That I have a blessed assurance in him. God is good. Praise the Lord. You pray for me that I can regain the memory that I lost. I need that. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. These strokes have left me with a little bit of a bad memory. But I'm praising the Lord that everything's going to be okay. I might not know what tomorrow holds, but He does. But if I can keep my confidence in Him, then I know everything is going to be all right, Brother Chris. I'm not confident in myself, but I'm confident in Him. I'm confident in the blood of Jesus that covers me, that answers the judgment that I need to have in my life. Judgment from God is what I deserve, but He's given me mercy. He's given me the blood of Jesus that gives me strength to carry on. And I don't have confidence in myself, but I have confidence in Him that He's able. And that's assurance to know that when I lay this body down or when He lays me down, that I have a place to go. And when I open my eyes, that I'm going to see Him. And that's what I was going to say. That came back. I was talking to Brother Grissom about death and how it looks like it is. I don't know for sure, but from the Scripture's point of view, that's what it talks about. When Dives died, Scripture says an unrighteous man went into Hades, and in that place he was aware. He's able to talk, and he's able to think, and he's able to remember. So he had what he was, he still was. And when Lazarus died, he went into Abraham's bosom. So it was a place of peace where he went. It was a place of torment where Dives went. And I just feel like when you pass off from this scene and when you close your eyes, it's almost as if the Scripture says you go to sleep. That's what it says. So it does say that. This book says you go to sleep. That when you wake up, you know how quick it is if you're tired, you've been working all day, and you lay down, go to sleep. Next thing you remember is that alarm going off. Oh, my goodness. It's early. So when we lay down, we'll get up on an early morning. I think it's going to be an early morning. It's going to be a tender morning. It's going to be a cool morning. It's going to be an exciting morning. When we wake up and we open our eyes, and there He is, the one that we've longed to see. I think it'll be that quick. Those that have been gone for 1,000 years, the fathers of the Scripture that have been gone 1,000 years, they're asleep. And it's just like waking up overnight. Pretty soon, when you wake up, you know how morning comes sometimes when the day has been so long and the night has been so quick. I believe that. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand? One of these days, we lay this body down, and we'll see Him when we wake up. And I believe it's going to be a sweet sleep, a peaceful sleep. It's not a tormenting sleep, but it's a peaceful sleep. I want to go there. I want to go there. I want to be in Your presence. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I grew up in a lot of turmoil. But I want to come into the presence of the Lord. There's peace. Peace, sweet, sweet peace. I thank You for that tonight, Lord, for that blessed assurance that we have. I worship You, Lord, for Your atonement. I worship You, God, for the appeasement You made, for the judgment of God that says I must die. I thank You, Lord, that You looked for a solution, and You found it, and You pardoned me. I worship You for that. I worship You, Jesus. You're so good. I thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing a chorus, sister.